Scott Hall is joining us. He's going to be with us for the sports page. It may just be you, Scott. We're hoping to hear from the guys. They'll be joining us via Zoom. And you're looking good. A little chilly, I think, with your... Oh.
There we go.
I'm cold. My kitchen's cold. It's cold this morning. I got my K-wear on, though.
I see that. Oh,
there we go.
What do you have the temperature set at in the house?
It was about 62.
Oh, for God's sakes, turn the heat up.
Well, I did. I just turned it up.
Oh, you turn it off to when you go to bed at night.
Yeah, turn it down.
Yeah, not off.
Safe. Yeah. You know, when you get older and you have breakfast, especially cereal, maybe, John, you've already noticed this. Heidi, maybe you're too young. You notice how you got a hole in your chin and the milk always drips down your chin?
I know. What is with that?
It happens to you too?
Oh, yeah. You can't take the... it happens a lot, and I think, how the heck do you take the perfect spoonful without getting that dribble?
I know. You just have to have a napkin handy all the time.
And then there's kind of a... to you. It's hard to do. It's hard to eat silent when you eat cereal.
I know.
Heidi?
Hey, Scott, I have to tell you the green cheese caveat here. Would you please turn your radio down? We're getting
I just did.
Okay.
Never mind. Yeah, I think I just did.
It looks like you're in Salt Lake City, Utah with that background and that Christmas tree over your left shoulder.
Yes, I know. Merry Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas. Good to see you, Scott.
You too. It's always fun to see you guys. Really?
Strange world. Welcome to my home office.
Okay, I hear
you.
You're listening to the Christmas Eve edition of the Thursday morning show. The sun's coming up. What?
I hear a phone ringing. Should I take the phone?
Fred doesn't know how to get on, you know.
Sure he does. He said, go ahead, John, take the phone. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Coming up, we've got to do the theme song first, I think, here.
Yeah.
Or the sports page.
Turned to the sports page.
Ooh.
And the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score. You
guys take it away. I tried Fred Olko. Kyle.
Welcome.
We just heard from Fred. I think you are supposed to give him a call, he says.
I just did.
Okay. And they did get if Scott's here, they did get the Zoom information because I sent it to you too, Scott. So we're hoping that they'll join us via Zoom because it would be fun to see their faces too.
Well...
All right, Scott, let's talk sports. What have you been paying attention to?
We do have Fred Friedman online as well. Fred, are you with us?
Did you guys send me a Zoom thing? I'll bet you did, and I don't see it, huh?
Oh, yeah, Fred.
Yes, we did.
That's okay. We got you by phone. No. That's good enough.
Fred by the sea, I might add.
That's true. On the beach.
He's on the beach.
Oak Island, North Carolina.
What do we got here? 10 below this morning? What do you have, Fred?
61.
Poor guy. You're not going to have a white Christmas.
Yeah, well, we can deal with that. That's all right. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Timberwolves won. Their opener was, a typical opening game where everybody looks like they're not quite there. But it was a nice win for Karl Anthony Towns, who not only lost his mother last spring to COVID, but he's lost other family members as well. So it was a kind of a heartfelt win and for Towns, and his teammates really rallied around him. It was a nice comeback they made in the fourth quarter. And we don't know what they're going to be like because they got so many new players, but I was happy for Karl Towns and the Timberwolves last night. So I hope they have a good season.
Are you there, Kyle?
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm firing up the computer so I can join you with technology.
Oh, okay. I'll wait for you to come in.
Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. He's here too. We could hear that whole thing, John.
I know.
We're working on it.
Jeez.
Technology on Christmas Eve.
Senior,
everybody.
Elderly. We got everything going on here. What did I hear? Fred's were at 61.
Yeah,
61, and I'm still looking for your code number, and I will get in if you tell me where it is. What's the secret?
Oh, wait.
Oh, boy. We're going to run out of time before you do that, Fred.
That's all right. I'll keep talking. Yeah, 61 where I'm here. And let's see what else we can do. They don't play anymore, do they?
Kyle down. He's on Zoom there.
Oh, my God.
All right. There's Kyle.
Hey, there's Kyle. Kyle had the phone. I want to break some news to Kyle. When I called him, maybe you heard this.
He did.
I said, I can't hear you. And he said, oh, I had the phone upside down. Must have been a rough night, Kyle.
turn your mic on.
There you go.
Hey. How are we doing so far? No, not a rough night. It's an early morning in the sub-zero temperatures. I got up and fired up the Traeger grill to start doing a prime rib for Christmas Eve.
Oh,
wow.
So it was an early, early wake up for me. I'm a little foggy.
Oh, man, sure. We can't come over because of COVID otherwise.
Otherwise, yeah, next year. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Yeah. Fred's on the beach. He's got one of these little glasses with the umbrella in it, you know?
I don't do that. But it is.
Hey, before we get going, or maybe to start us off, I got a proposal for the new year. And that is, I want to pardon Joe Jackson and Pete Rose and put them in the Hall of Fame.
I think that's a great idea. So, yeah, since no longer does law matter anymore in America, I think that's a real good idea. So, and I'll remind everybody, Joe Jackson was acquitted, was found not guilty, and they still suspended him forever. Third highest batting average, lifetime batting average ever, everybody, ever.
Wow. Well,
let's
talk about, I know, Scott, you talked about the Timberwolves. They have a lot of, I think they have a lot of depth. It was kind of fun seeing Derrick Rose. He still has it, boy.
Boy, no
He
kidding.
Sure does. But I'd like to talk about selfishness, I guess. I don't know. I know when the NBA had their, their season, they did it in a bubble. But now we got the James Harden thing, and we've got the football thing with this Haskins for the Washington, what's the sports team? And, Harden was seen out with a bunch of people, maskless, partying, and now he's been fined $50,000, is like you getting fined $7, Scott. And I'm just kind of wondering about how difficult it must be to play a season like that and not do something like that. But it's selfish. I mean, he's making, what, $40 million a year? You think you could maybe stay in the house, but maybe not. So they got nine more positives on the Houston team. And so they had to cancel their game. So is that a forfeit? Is it a cancel? Are you going to make it up in July? What? Kyle, what do you think?
Well, I just caught the back half of the conversation. Of course, my technology is not working great. You're right about the amount of the fine. $50,000 is, you might as well fine Harden nothing at that point. I think the only thing they would understand is being suspended for a number of games, because then they would feel that and their team would feel that. And that might be an incentive for him to follow the rules. Money isn't going to do the trick. James Harden's got more money than he knows what to do with.
And the point being, he probably infected the other nine. So you said worrying about the team or having a team. They don't have a team right now.
Yeah. They don't. And the Houston papers, I might point out, guys, says that the ownership, they just surrendered to Harden. They just do whatever Harden says. In terms of getting people sick, doing this, doing that. It also points out, I think this is fair to point out, the insane amount of money that the NBA makes that they could pay these kinds of players. And remember, everybody, they have nowhere near the overhead of football, baseball, and hockey. Nowhere near the expenses. It's 10, 12 guys in shorts.
Yeah.
No bad. Say, the other, on a much smaller note, the Timberwolves benched D'Angelo Russell just because he missed his COVID test. He didn't get there early enough
to
get his test. Last night, he didn't get to the game early enough to take a test.
Oh, wow.
And so they benched him. You know, he played, and he played pretty well. But I just mean that's how serious they're taking every step of the way to make sure they have a season.
Yeah, they have to. How about that Edwards kid? He did a good job. Looked like he played pretty well. Yeah. Kyle, did you watch it? Yes, you did.
I just caught a little bit of it. Didn't watch a lot. It's great to start off the season with a win. I'm not getting too hyped over it yet because Detroit is one of the worst teams in the league. And they only shot 43% from the field and 20-something percent from three, and they're going to have to do a lot better than that to beat a good team. But it's nice to see that they've got more guys now that they can run the offense through. You know, Rubio's contract doesn't make any sense for them beyond this year, but it's nice to have more guys to facilitate the offense.
Yeah.
They should be more watchable this
year. And last
year
they were 4-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I think they won 12 more games.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, explain high school sports for us right now, what's going on with the COVID and things like that.
Well, there's not any games going on right now in Minnesota. They keep saying they say they're going to have a schedule in January, but it's up to the league. But the COVID, of course, the tests are going in the wrong direction. And I think it's likely that it's not going to happen here in Minnesota. And, of course, some people say that's great. Some people say it's not. And the governor's saying, let's follow the science, which sounds to me right. I know it's horrible to miss your seasons and all that. It's a terrible thing. But public health is more important. So that's just where I stand on it. And it's tragic. It's a horrible thing.
So when they say that you can come, you know, you can swim and things like that, there's no competition. It's all practice. Is that what it is?
There has been some swimming, as I understand it, because there's no contact. You know what I mean? So they've tried to divide the extracurricular activities into things that there's contact on and things there is not contact on. I know there has been some swimming, but there's been no. There hasn't been team sports in a while. They tried football. They played a couple of games. There was a lot of COVID. Some people played. Some people didn't. So now they're frightened enough that they're trying to do the right thing, and there's so much political pressure on them on one side because people want their kids to play and so much public health pressure on the other side.
Wasn't there a lawsuit, and then that fell through?
Yes, exactly. There's a lawsuit, and people fell through because courts are hesitant to tell public health people what to do. But I understand it. People are losing their season, and people says, "Oh, my kid, the hockey's more important," and they're worried about not getting scholarships and all that. But to my way of thinking, as terrible as that is, it's depressing. It's awful depressing. But public health and getting other people sick has to come worth. I mean, come on, we've lost 300,000 lives, for goodness sakes, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Let's see. I understand now that break dancing is a Olympic sport.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it took baseball many years to be an Olympic sport. Now we got break dancing.
They've probably been trying for years too, John. I mean, don't.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was insensitive. I'm sorry. They've been trying.
Well, it's a kind of gymnastics, you know, or ice skate. It's kind of in that individualistic kind of sport. And,
I think roller derby should be in there.
Hey, there you go.
keep trying, Scott. It's not working.
I'm always amazed at the athleticism of breakdancing when I see it. And to me, it's right up there with gymnastics and things like that. It's an individualized thing.
And
it's fun to watch, and there definitely is athleticism to it. I'm curious about how are they going to judge it?
Yeah.
What is there, like, an international body that's the authority on breakdancing that will lay out the mandatory elements like you have to have in a gymnastics or a figure skating program? And
Kyle Scott knows where I stand on all this Olympics. If it doesn't have a measuring stick or a clock, I'm not interested. Everything else is just subjective. And how many jokes did we hear when we were kids about the East German judge? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and how's a Russian judge going to judge breakdancing? And can you wear one of those little protective helmets so you can spin on it easier? And they may start, they may make those aerodynamic like in race cars and you get suspended. It's just going to open up a can of worms, Heidi.
Why do you guys assume there will be an Olympics this summer in Tokyo? I mean, maybe, but I'm not assuming there will be. And, of course, the TV contract for that is insane, as you know, across the world.
Yeah. Okay, Heidi, Gophers lost last night. I don't know if you're a huge Gopher fan, but they got whooped by Indiana by 21 points. And I know, and she's getting top recruits for next year, and they've made commitments. But speaking of commitments, Scott.
She would be Lindsay Whalen is what you're talking about, right?
Lindsay Whalen. They're struggling, but... Speaking of commitments, what is going on with college football now? And Fred, you can chime in, and Kyle too. Your seniors can just come back; they didn't lose any eligibility. Does a junior?
Yes.
Does a junior lose eligibility? Does a sophomore lose?
No.
No.
Everybody gets a free year.
Okay.
Wow.
Everybody gets a free year because there's so many games and so many cancellations everywhere. You know. Except in the Southeast Conference, they just play right through this stuff. So
Kyle, do you get another scholarship, and does that hurt the college?
Well, it'll be interesting logistically, you know, assuming teams are recruiting an incoming freshman class too, because there's only so much space, so much equipment. So unless you're one of the mega power conference teams that can just buy what you need. You know, you can only roster so many players, and if they've got however many, 20, 30 extra holdovers on a team, how are they going to sort that out? I don't know.
And if the senior's not good, he might not be welcome back. There's a whole bunch of dynamics.
Yeah.
It's very complicated, and frankly, as we've said over and over, D1 is all catering to the TV contracts. Those college presidents are scared about losing those college those contracts. So let's make the whipping person, let's blame it on Title IX, let's blame it on women athletes, and get rid of track and gymnastics and all that, which makes no sense to me. And as you guys know, the University of Minnesota AD has been beat up everywhere, including on 60 Minutes, where they ripped them.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So... We need Scott, do you have any trivia?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud, let's go.
Sure. Okay. Okay. On Christmas Day, 1914.
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. Jeez. Right out of the gate.
I think you guys are going to get this. It's not that hard.
Okay.
A famous pickup soccer game was played between what two sides? Christmas Day, 1914.
France and Germany. Britain. Germany, something like that.
Britain and Germany. British and German soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
They came out of the trenches on the Western Front in France and played during an unofficial truce. Then they went back to killing each other the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
All right. Ready for this one. Christmas Eve, 1969. Who said this on Christmas Eve, 1969? I do not feel that I am a piece of property to be bought and sold, irrespective of my wishes.
Sounds like
Kurt Flood.
You got it, Kyle. Yep. On Christmas Eve, 1977, an NFL playoff game between the Baltimore Colts and the Oakland Raiders went into two overtimes as a result of a famous late fourth quarter pass play that became known as the ghost to the post. Who was the quarterback who threw the pass and the receiver who caught the pass?
The ghost to the post.
I don't know. Stabler to Casper, maybe?
You got it.
Yeah, okay.
Casper's nickname was the ghost after, you know, Casper the ghost.
Ah, yeah. I remember that play very well.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it set up an overtime, a double overtime, I think. This week in 1941, the Chicago Bears player Ray McLean became the last player in the NFL history to score by what means?
Dropkick.
Yes. Sorry, you guys. I'm apologizing. Fred should be.
Just mute us.
We might have to fact check that. I thought an NFL kicker made a drop kick just a handful of years ago,
He did. He did.
You may be right, Kyle. I vaguely remember that, too.
Who was there?
John, do you remember practicing drop kicks when you were a kid?
Oh, gosh,
we used to do it all the time.
Yep.
It's hard.
Now, Kyle, don't feel bad. The next question is from 1896. So you'll get this
all right. I got a couple.
Love it.
But you got, hey, don't give up. The Big Ten Conference was established in 1896. It's the oldest Division I athletic conference. What is the second oldest Division I conference? And here's a good clue. And Fred, let John and Kyle go for it first. At one time, the conference included basketball powerhouses Cincinnati, Drake, Wichita State, and Bradley.
Big East?
No, the answer to that is the Missouri Valley Conference.
Is that right, Scott?
Okay.
Heidi, did you know that?
I'd have never guessed.
Yeah, they were established in 1907.
Oh, my gosh.
Heidi knew that. All right. All right, seven universities got together in 1896 to form the conference that later became the Big Ten. Name the six original schools that are still in the conference.
Ooh. Tell me when to start talking.
Well, it's going to be
U of M, Michigan,
Ohio State, Illinois.
Okay. Slow down, slow down. You said Minnesota.
Minnesota, yep. Michigan.
Michigan?
Yep.
Yep.
Ohio State, okay. Illinois.
Wisconsin?
Not Ohio State, but Illinois is correct. Wisconsin is correct. That's four.
Iowa?
Now, there's two that don't have the next two don't have state names. But
don't have state names.
Purdue, maybe?
Yes, Purdue.
Oh.
Northwest?
I think this is a trick
Northwestern,
question.
Northwestern, John. You got it.
Northwestern?
Is that correct?
Northwestern. All right, good.
Okay. And Iowa and Indiana joined in 1899 and Ohio State in 1912.
Now the better question would be to quickly answer. How many are in the Big Ten now? 13?
It's the math
14,
challenge.
14, what are the new four?
Penn State, Nebraska.
No.
Rutgers and Maryland.
Nebraska, yeah, Penn State, Nebraska, yeah.
And Rutgers, yeah.
Yep.
Penn State, Nebraska, Rutgers, and what?
Oh.
Not Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, we can remember.
Yeah, All right. I got a Big Ten question for you guys. From 1905 through 1912, what college that no longer exists every year came out to play the Big Ten schools and traditionally defeated them? Played Notre Dame, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And traditionally defeated them.
Huh. Carlisle?
That's correct. Indian Reservation. Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yep. Wow. And their All-American quarterback was a guy named Welsh from Spooner, Wisconsin. Oh. Everybody knows that who their All-American star was who, in the 1912, read the book, The Real All-Americans, when Carlisle played West Point, Jim Thorpe, against Dwight Eisenhower.
What other Native American won the Heisman Award, I think?
Oh, Sonny Sixkiller.
Yeah, Sonny Sixkiller.
Did he win the Heisman?
I'm not sure. Maybe not, but he was gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated, I remember.
Yeah, from Washington, right? University of Washington.
Yeah, Sonny Sixkiller. Are you kidding me? What a great name. Scott Moore?
All right, this is for John and Kyle go first.
How about
what
Heidi?
Was the seventh original... Heidi has the question. I'm sorry, Heidi. I blew your cover.
You just did. Yep. Okay.
All right, Heidi.
First, I do want to say I did some crack researching here, and Sonny Sixkiller was a serious Heisman Trophy candidate. So he didn't ever win it.
Okay.
Thanks, Heidi.
Yep.
What was the seventh original member of the Big Ten? It left the league in 1946.
I wasn't even thought of at that time.
My parents weren't even around.
I think I go, Scott. Tell me when it's my turn.
Okay, Fred.
I think it's the University of Chicago.
Correct. What's their nickname?
The Maroon.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Who coached the Maroons from 1892 to 1932?
Oh, my gosh. Amos Alonzo Stagg.
Correct. What is the name for the NCAA Division III football championship game? It's something, something, something bowl. And the previous two questions are
Is it the Amos Alonzo Stagg Bowl? Yeah.
Correct.
Good job, Kyle.
That's all.
Okay, I would like to end on something because, Scott, you threw out a name of a NFL football coach. I want you to name one or two of your favorite names for football coaches. I have mine. First of all, Abe Gibron. You remember Abe Gibron?
Oh, yeah.
Chicago Bears. I loved him. And Bum Phillips.
I knew you were going to say Bum Phillips.
Those are my two. God dag nabbit. He'd spit. Kyle, how about you?
Football.
I know I'm throwing these on you. That's hard.
No. You know, the age I am, John Madden was a larger player when I was a kid growing up, really getting into football. And, you know, the big figure on the sidelines, and then, of course, his career, where a lot of people either loved or couldn't stand him as a commentator. But I always liked John Madden. He was a great coach and an entertainer.
Scotty?
Yeah, I thought Madden was a great entertainer. Kyle, I liked him on the TV as an analyst, too.
As well.
He had fun. Yeah. He was just out there having a good time. My favorite name, not my favorite coach, but my favorite name for a coach is Weeb Eubanks.
Oh, Weeb Eubanks, New York Jets.
Yes, and he also coached Washington University and the Chicago Cardinals. And anyway.
And the Colts and the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And Fred, how about you? Now, you going back to 49 or something?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I've been thinking about that since you guys have been talking and nothing.
Whoa.
No, I got nothing. Nothing comes to me.
So. Gee, not Lou Holtz, Fred?
No. The guy that invented the most things are still used today was definitely Paul Brown. I mean, he invented the concepts that we use today.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but that's not...
Hey, here's another Amos Alonzo Stagg piece. You know, he also coached baseball and played baseball. He got an offer to play professional baseball when he was in college, but he invented the batting cage.
Whoa.
How's that?
That's pretty good.
I think that one of the best names is Les Steckel.
That is pretty good.
I'm just kidding. Well, Heidi, do you have a best football
who's
name?
Who's going to be the Viking coach and general manager and quarterback next year?
Cousins is going to be the quarterback, and I'm glad you brought that up because there were some great comments after the Vikings game. I watched it, and then I went out and did some work, and I was driving for a while. And a caller came in and said something about Kubiak. And to just make a long story short, you watch a Kansas City, you watch a Buffalo, you watch teams like that, there's just chaos everywhere. They're moving, blah, 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 blah. And he said, maybe our coach is just too old school. He's been around forever. And when you think about it, our offense is quite predictable or boring. But we don't have guys that can run a 4-2. So, you know, I think Kubiak will be gone. And
I hope so, John. And Zimmer is not the problem. Cousins is definitely not the problem. He's not worth what they're paying him.
Yes.
But the problem is the Vikings have one of the worst defensive lines in the league. And but for the emergence of Cameron Dantzler, who has played fantastic, one of their rookie cornerbacks the last four games, the secondary is bad too. But Spielman gets a lot of criticism that I don't understand for the draft, but if you look at their talent, they haven't had to trade for it except for Cousins. He's identified Harrison Smith and Eric Kendricks and some other good defensive players who are gone, and he drafted Delvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith. And the position that they really struggled with, we've talked about over and over again, is the offensive line.
Yeah.
The rest, you know, it's not Zimmer's fault that they lost eight defensive starters, and it's not Spielman's fault that they lost one of the league's best pass rushers to an injury.
I'll tell you what, I before you talk, Fred, I think that if we had Kendricks back, we wouldn't have lost three games in a row. He's that pivotal. He's everywhere.
Well, you guys are right. No Kendricks, no Barr, no Pierce, you know, no Hunter.
Danielle Hunter.
But here's who I blame. The contracts. we have lost all kinds of players that we can't sign or can't get along because we're just paying Cousins too much. I'm not opposed to Kirk Cousins being the quarterback. I'm opposed to the contract. The more you pay him, the less you can pay other people around him. And that's why we're going to lose Harris this offseason. It's all, so my complaint Harrison? Is about the contracts. Would I have Cousins as my starter? Yes. But they're paying him too much, which means you're not paying others.
Hey, before we go, I just want to thank our producer, Heidi Holton, for letting us boys play, okay?
Yeah.
My favorite coach was Bronco Mendenhall.
Whoa.
Brigham Young University coach.
Really?
A good
name. That's some serious research.
Well, that's what producers do.
I looked up coach names. There's some pretty fun ones. Zoltan Mesko. Red Grange.
Oh, the Galloping Ghost.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, you guys have a Merry Christmas. Yep. Thanks so much for being here.
You guys too. Thank you. And I'm sorry I can't get on here, so I'll do better.
Just keep trying, Fred. Just read a book or something. Maybe go on Google and search Zoom.
Maybe you guys could send me what you sent me before. See if you can find it where you sent it to.
So you can know.
Check your email.
Kyle.
Oh, I've been looking. I've been checking it the whole time.
It's there. Kyle, do you need my address to drop off the prime rib? Or how's that work?
I will deliver all of the leftovers that we have after the meal.
Oh, man.
Hey, Fred, say hi to Amanda
and the kids.
My
wish for the new season is a post-pandemic world where I could show up at the KAXE studios. That's my wish.
We can't wait.
Lights at the end of the tunnel, baby. We're going to get there.
Well said.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Remember, use your legs when you shovel. Don't use your back.
Oh, good point.
See ya.